Hello, this is Pastor Stolz. Thank you for joining me in our Good Friday worship. To begin with, I would like to read Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. He is acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, and neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied by his knowledge, and shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So far. This is the story of Good Friday. It is the story of rejection, suffering, and death of the Son of God. It is the story of the man of sorrows who took the sinner's place that is our place. It is a vivid account and yet not written by any eyewitness nor by someone who received information from those who stood at the foot of the cross. No. These words, so beautiful and impressive, were written hundreds of years before our Lord walked upon the path that led to shame and death, for it is one of the greatest prophecies of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of Christ, and there are a great number of facts recorded in the Old Testament which have direct reference to Christ's life, his work, and his passion. As an example, how Abraham was ready to sacrifice Isaac, how the Passover lamb was killed, how God gave his people bread from heaven and water from a rock, how Moses erected a brazen serpent in the wilderness. But with this evening's sermon text, we come to the ultimate of all Old Testament references to Christ, as we hear the voice of the prophet Isaiah, the greatest preacher of the gospel, before the birth of Christ. For even though Isaiah lived 700 years before the Christian era, he gives us a marvelous picture of the coming Redeemer. Now, we can think of these different events in the Old Testament as hills, so to speak, hills from which we view Calvary. But the highest hill of vision in the Old Testament is the 53rd chapter of the chapter of Isaiah. This great Old Testament prophet foresees in the distance the cross rising like a torch, shedding its light over the world that has been darkened by sin. It is this that makes Isaiah the greatest gospel preacher of the Old Testament, which commemorates the death of Christ. What does Isaiah see as he looks across the centuries? He sees a man forsaken and lowly. He speaks of him as being despised, rejected of men. And that is true. When we view the passion history, we are amazed at the noise and the confusion everywhere. Back in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the court of the high priest, in the judgment hall of Pilate, and on Calvary. But in the midst of these places of confusion stands the figure of the lonely Christ. He is all alone. Never was anyone so alone and so forsaken. What shouting there had been a few days before when the people of Galilee were visiting Jerusalem and they cried out, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna is the highest." But on this day there was another cry from the people of that city, "Crucify him, crucify him." He was forsaken by all those whom he had helped in their need, whom he had visited in their homes, whose loved ones he had raised from the dead, whose children he had blessed. Where were they now? He is indeed the lonely Christ. But a still greater source of grief it was for Jesus was to be forsaken by his own disciples. How he longed for their company in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Could you not watch with me for just 1 hour?" And how it hurts one to hear that all the disciples forsook him and fled. One betrayed him, another denied him, the lowly Christ. Again, what did Isaiah see? He saw Christ who was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And with our eyes of faith, we too see darkness settling down on Calvary. And it was not the darkness of the night. It was early in the afternoon. It was a horrifying and gruesome silence, broken only by the groans of agony of the two malefactors. Then, through the horrible darkness, comes the bitter cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The end of Christ's redemptive work was coming to completion. Suffering the torments of hell, he was forsaken by his heavenly Father. There is nothing that happened on Calvary more strange, more deeply mysterious than this, that the Father should forsake his own Son. Of course, we know what is implied. The sins of the world had risen like a wall and had hidden the Father's face. Laid upon Christ were the sins of all people. The sins of the past, the sins of today, the sins of ages to come, and the sins that you and I commit so freely from day to day. Yet, Christ was the innocent Lamb of God. This is the picture of Calvary. A picture of the pure and holy Jesus over against the backdrop of human sin. And please note the divine significance of Calvary in the words that Isaiah writes. "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Did you notice the hour and the we. Not only were we guilty of what happened to Christ on Calvary, but it was for us, for our peace, that he endured it all. It was for us that he was shamefully treated like a common criminal. It was for us that he was sacrificed on the altar of the cross, and that he endured the terrors of hell for us. When once we realize that, we must look at ourselves in an entirely new light. We are redeemed sinners. We are forgiven sinners. We will never again doubt the love of God and always believe in his forgiveness. He wants us to know that we are forgiven and that we are reconciled back to God. For it is there at the foot of Calvary's cross that the unbearable load of sin was taken off our shoulders and was laid upon Christ himself. He atoned, he made good, he suffered stripes, so that you and I may look upon, may look to him with trustful eyes and be healed and receive complete and total forgiveness. It is good for us, therefore, to once again stand beneath the cross. We need to be reminded of Christ's death. We need to be reminded again and again its meaning for us. Don't ever forget these words. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all of our sins. Amen. And let us pray. Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ask you to look with mercy upon your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and to be given over to the hands of sinners and to suffer death on that cross, who now lives and reigns with you, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Okay.
Beautiful. Yeah, when you read that.